Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 24 of One Question with Pastor Adam. And I'm Adam, and I'm pastor to believers and doubters, to unfaithful Christians and faithful atheists. Jesus wasn't afraid of questions, and neither are we. So each week on this podcast, we are going to explore one question that you have sent me over Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. We will explore questions that you might be afraid to ask someone else. Some topics include the Bible, heaven and hell, who is Jesus, and do you have to be a Christian in order to be saved? If you have questions, hit me up over on social media, either on my pages, the Raven Foundation pages, or the Clackamas United Church of Christ pages. Our question today comes from Chris, and Chris asks a question that goes all the way back to our first episode here, which was, do you have to be a Christian in order to be saved? And in that episode, I talked about heaven and hell and how I think of those concepts a little bit differently than what many, especially evangelical Christians, think of heaven and hell. So the way that I interpret Jesus and the way that a lot of people interpret Jesus is that Jesus is far more concerned about the present reality, the here and now, than he is about the future reality of where you go after you die. So Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is among you. And if that's the case, then hell is among us too. So when Jesus is talking about heaven and hell, I interpret that as being present realities right here and right now. And Chris asks this really great question that is going to help me clarify this. So Chris asks this. When Jesus says in Matthew 5 that people may be in danger of hell if they say something hateful or raka, as it's in the Greek, as Jesus put it, what does that mean if Jesus doesn't actually mean hell? Could it be that if the literal interpretation of that verse is wrong, that it could have been mistranslated or from the original language? So here is Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus talks about hell. And I want to set this up for you in its context. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is talking about our relationships with other people. And he's also talking about hell. And he's talking about the temple. And so here is the important part for us. It's in a passage that is highlighted as concerning anger. What do you do with your anger? So Jesus says this, if you say to another person, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar at the temple, if you are remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to guard you to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. So when Jesus says here that if you call someone a fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire, what does he connect that with? He connects the hell of fire with our relationship with other people. This is another example of where Jesus, when he talks about hell, is talking about our present realities, our relationships right now. And where is the final destination of hell that Jesus says here? It's you may go to prison. And that's hell right here, right now. And here's what I want you to notice, that for Jesus, heaven and hell are relational. There, the space between us can have a spirit of heaven or it can have a spirit of hell. When we fill the space between us with hatred, anger, animosity, jealousy, envy, then we are creating hell in our relationships and we are dragging one another down into the pit of hell. So what does Jesus offer as advice for the remedy of this? He says, go seek reconciliation right here, right now, with your accuser. Trying to mend this relationship is so important, according to Jesus, that he says, even if you are on your way to the temple, even if you're at the temple and you're about to make a sacrifice on the altar, and you are about to make your gift on the altar, and you remember that you're in a conflict with a brother or a sister, stop making your gift. It is much more important that you just go and seek reconciliation with your brother or your sister. So I am not suggesting that we talk about hell in a metaphorical way, although I think that that can bear some good fruit. I want to talk about hell like Jesus talked about hell, which is the present reality. It's now. Jesus uses the word Gehenna for hell. And Gehenna was a literal place here on earth. It was the place where ancient kings of Israel would sacrifice their children to the gods. They would make them go through the fires of hell as a sacrificial offering to the gods. Gehenna is hell. It is a way of life that we live right now. And there's another interesting bit in this passage where Jesus says, "Come to terms quickly with your accuser." And it's interesting because in Hebrew, the word for accuser is Satan. We generally think of Satan as being the tempter or the adversary, and that's all true. But Satan is literally the accuser. When Satan shows up in the book of Job, for example, it gets translated as the accuser. Satan is the principle of accusation in our world. And how do we usually respond to accusations? We usually respond with accusations of our own. When somebody points the finger at us, we usually imitate that accusation and point the finger back at them. And thus the cycle of accusation continues over and over again, and it is satanic, and it's just going to lead us into the pits of hell. When we get into this cycle of accusation, we just drag each other down into the pits of hell. And so what does Jesus say is the remedy to this satanic principle of accusation? It's to do your best to come to terms with your accuser. With your Satan. That sounds really weird. Coming to terms with your Satan. Who is your Satan? Who is the accuser in your life? And is there a way that you might be able to come to terms with your accuser? Because Jesus calls us to love our neighbor, including our enemies, as ourselves. And sometimes that might mean trying to come to terms with our accuser. And sometimes doing your best to come to terms with your accuser means trying to get some kind of reconciliation. Other times, the best we can do is to move away, to create space between us and the person accusing us. There are times when reconciliation may never be possible. And for your own health, you have to create that space between you and your accuser. Why? Because there are some people who are just so caught up in the satanic mechanism of accusation that there is no possibility for reconciliation. But before you move to creating space between you, Jesus says, try to seek reconciliation. Try to come to terms with your accuser. So friends, it's not that I don't believe in hell or that I don't take Jesus literally when he talks about hell. I do take him literally. I think that he's talking about present realities right here, right now. And in fact, you can see hell all around us. When people are living in abusive relationships, that's hell. When our economy benefits some and leaves others behind, that's hell. When there's so much greed and people don't care about the poor and the homeless, that's hell. When we live in the richest nation in the world and some people are crippled financially because of medical debt, that's hell. When immigrants come here trying to escape financial hardship or gang violence or political corruption, when they try to escape the hell of their own country only to face racism and xenophobia in the United States, that's hell. But Jesus says we don't have to live this way. He says the kingdom of heaven is among you, and he invites us to live into that. And how do you live into that? Jesus says, just follow the two great commandments, the two commandments that mean the most. If you follow these two commandments, all of the other commandments will fall into place. And those two commandments are, love God, and love your neighbor as yourself. So friends, that's it for today. Thank you for having the courage to ask questions and for listening. If you have a question, hit me up over on social media, either on my pages, the Raven Foundation pages, or the Clackamas United Church of Christ pages. And if you want more content, check me out at ravenfoundation.org, where we explore life, faith, and mimetic theory. And if you're in the Portland area, come check us out at Clackamas United Church of Christ. And hey, always remember, your faith and your doubts are holy. So join me next time as we continue to explore your questions.